So I hope all of you have enjoyed your time in your small groups. Thumbs up. All right. Great. If you have a thumbs down, come see me after. Okay. So thank you for being here and enduring to the end. It's been a long 2 days, but I think that I know for myself and for my small group, it's been fruitful. So it's our hope and prayer that as you come to the end of this, you will yield a harvest of good fruit as you have gleaned from the pages of Scripture and the wisdom of the talks given. Just, it's been great knowing some principles that you can apply as you go about finding ways to have sound biblical interpretation. So as we go in, I feel like there are many distractions. So let me just pray. Father God, I just pray that your presence would be here among us, that you would open our eyes to see things new, some way that we can take one step forward in our faith to apply what we have learned in the book of Ruth, that we can go out encouraged today, that we can go out strengthened, that we can go out ready to share these truths with other people. Lord God, I pray that you would just bless the time that we have had together. I thank you for the preparation that has gone in to having this space, this time set aside. I thank you for these women who have committed to becoming women who long to be in your word, to be committed to knowing what truth is and applying that to their lives. Father God, I just ask you to bless the rest of our day. Help us to, as we approach tomorrow, that you would give us a time of rest. And so, Father, I thank you, and we love you, and we just lift this time up to you. It is in your holy, precious name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so we have one more principle left. We've had three so far. Dan covered the principle of finding what the meaning of the text is and what it said to the original audience. Marco was able to teach us how narrative works and how to find the structure or emphasis of a passage. And then Ryan finished up and taught us the principle of what this text means in light of the bigger picture of Scripture. So the fourth and final step in the path to sound biblical interpretation is application. So how do we go about taking these truths and putting it into action in our lives? So I have an illustration for you. It's a picture. Oh, man. Oh, wait a second. Okay. 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 So, imagine you're driving along the highway at the nice new speed of 70 miles an hour. Imagine that you're driving along on the freeway and you come across this sign and it has a curve ahead and it says 25 miles an hour. If you were driving on a sunny day, how might you approach that curve? What if you were driving in a sports car? Would you be going 25?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I know I wouldn't. You might approach that curve differently than you would, say, if it was snowing or rainy and you were driving a U-Haul. How would you approach this sign? Okay, so you might stop to reassess. Anyone else?
Would
you? Right? You probably. Yeah, it's just you in the van, so. But you would approach it differently. The thing is that the sign doesn't change. But the application, how you approach that sign, does change. The way it's carried out changes, not the meaning. And it's based on the context of who's reading it. If you're in a sports car, you might apply that sign differently than if you were in a U-Haul. So I want to suggest to you that every text aim has one meaning, one truth, but many applications. And that's the fourth principle. So I'm going to write this on the slide. One meaning. So one meaning, many applications. So what do we mean by this? Well, we know that when we read the text, we need to answer the question, and the flip book will help you, and just how Dan had talked to us about finding what the interpretation is based on the original audience. The text has a meaning that's objective. The meaning is what it means apart from us. That's why we don't ever want to ask the question, what does this mean to me? We can't jump from reading the text to applying it right away. We have to know what it means according to the original audience. We also have to find out what it means according to the bigger picture of Scripture. The meaning is the same across generations and across cultures. It doesn't shift and change. Truth doesn't shift and change according to those things. We apply it differently. There's one meaning, but many applications. The author had an original intent for this truth. So as we read it, no matter where we are in life, it's going to be the same, but how we apply that truth to our lives is going to look differently from person to person. So The text also doesn't want to assume that you're going to remain neutral. There's going to require some action on your part. Just like when you approach the sign, it's requiring a response. You could come to a complete stop, assess the situation. If you disregard the sign completely, you're going to come to some tragic ends if you are not heeding the warning of that sign. Scripture tells us that something ought to happen. We need to be affected in some way. So James tells us to be doers of the word, to not be hearers only. And Jesus says that whoever loves him will keep his commandments. They'll be affected by them. And he said that the wise man or woman is the one who hears his word and then acts on them and puts them into practice. So Scripture is assuming that we'll be affected by the word. And this is where some subjectivity comes in, where our application may differ from one another. We each will read the passage, but it will not be applied exactly the same from person to person. So Scripture demands that we ask, so what? Once we find the meaning of the original context, next, we see how it fits into the bigger picture, according to Scripture. And then we can seek to apply it to our own life situations. This is the so what. And it might look different from person to person, according to where you are in life. The meaning of the passage doesn't change. That is objective. But the way it comes into our hearts and affects us is understandably subjective. It meets us where we are in our lives. That's the beauty of Scripture. It's the same truth to all of us, but there's so many ways of allowing it to change us, to transform us. So like the sign, it has one meaning, but it has many applications. So let's demonstrate this. If you have a Bible, open up to Luke 3, verses 7 through 14. Would someone like to read that aloud? 7 through 14, chapter 3.
So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, so every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds were questioning him, saying, "Then what shall we do?" And he would answer and say to them, "The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise." And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, "And what about us? What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages."
Thanks, Sarah. Okay, so with your neighbor, I want you to answer two questions. I want you to answer, what's the truth that John's trying to communicate to the people? And then how many applications are there? So take a few minutes and just talk with your neighbor about those two things. What's the truth being communicated, and how many different applications are there? Okay, so what is the truth that's being communicated? Just shout out the answer if you know it.
Bear fruit.
Bear fruit. Yes, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So that's the truth. That doesn't change. That's going to stay the same. How many types of applications did he list? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah, three. So many. So how many people were was he talking to? Like crowds, teachers, soldiers. So there's many different types of people that he's talking to, many different types of applications, one truth. So the truth doesn't change, but the way that you approach the text based on your life circumstances, the context, just whatever you are facing in life will change the application. So, all right. Let's practice that. And since it's familiar with us, we are going to go to Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And it should be very familiar with you since we just finished up with that passage. And for the sake of the exercise, we are going to assume that we can all agree that the main point of the text is that the true Redeemer willingly and joyfully pays the cost of redemption, even for the outcast. Okay, so we're going to say that that's the main point of the text. And then we can see that in the larger picture of Scripture, that Jesus is the greater Boaz, and his rescue is even greater than the wrath of physical poverty, but he rescues us from the wrath of God, from spiritual hardship, and he makes us his bride. And we are his people, and we're now reconciled to God forever. So let's take some time to look at this truth and apply it to our lives, and talk about these four women, Kathy, Karen, Kelly, and Kim. They are all friends together. Maybe they're all in the same small group or care group. They're just reading this passage together in Ruth. But let's take a look at where each one of them are in life currently. So Kathy is joyful in the Lord. I'm going to do a thick line. This pen. Wait, I have to erase this. Okay. Oh. Not going to happen. Technology. Sorry. I did this last time too. Oh wait, text. Oh, that's what I don't want. Okay. Oh, there. She's joyful in the Lord. She is really joyful. And then, so she's really excited about the gospel. She is just learning new truths and applying things, and she is just like on fire for the Lord. But then we have Karen, who is maybe a little worried. So she would be the sad face emoji. She's just worried that God's sick of her, that she's not thriving in the Word. She's downcast. She's disappointed in life. And so this is the context that she's approaching the text. But then there's Kelly, and she's pretty angry. Maybe she's angry at life. She's angry at her kids, her spouse, maybe even her boss. Just life circumstances. She's coming in with a lot of anger, and she's not really struggling to come out of her anger. So then there's Kim. Kim's just coasting along. She's kind of like, meh. She's bored. She's coasting, drifting, whatever adjective you want to use, but she's not really feeling any joy. She's almost the opposite of Kathy in this circumstance. But there's a lot of emotions that are taking place in this group of friends here. So as we look at the text, they have figured out that the meaning is the true Redeemer willingly and joyfully pays the cost of redemption even for the outcast. Then they looked at the bigger picture, this truth being in the bigger picture of Scripture. So what are some ways, you could just throw out some meaning or some answers, what are some ways that Kathy could respond or apply this particular truth given her life circumstances? So how would she respond or apply the text in her current season of joy?
This is not rhetorical, right? Are we supposed to answer you?
Yes. Throw out any ideas on how you think she could apply this truth to her life. So she just went through this wonderful worksheet or her flip book or her app. And she's reading and she's finally like realizing that this is the truth. How would she apply this to her life? Any idea? I mean, anything you can throw out.
She would praise God.
Yeah, right.
I think since she's in a good spot, she could seek out others to lift up and encourage because it specifically says the outcast, so she could start feeding into others.
Yeah, that's great. Anyone else?
Definitely make her more joyful. I mean, like praising God, but also she's in a good place. It's nice to be in that place.
Mm-hmm. How do you think she would continue on in that place? How can she maintain her joy?
I mean, I think by just remembering God's truths.
Yeah.
And that truth specifically.
Yeah, these are great. And sometimes application is challenging because we think we have to go and do something in order to apply it. When I was a brand new Christian, I looked at texts and I thought, okay, I'm going to find all of the verbs and I'm going to do them and then I'll be a good Christian. totally missing the truth that was trying to be conveyed, totally missed the point, totally got burned out. And I was wondering why I was struggling in life, because I wasn't applying the truth, I was applying the verbs. Not the same thing. So there's a couple of different ways that we can apply. There's different types of application. It's not about doing, not just about doing, but there are some types. Let's see here. So this would be an upward. An upward application. It's pointing her focus up to God. She's not necessarily doing something, but her praise, her worship is being directed at God. This would be an outward application. She's seeking out others. This is the doing, but she's seeking out others. She's not just keeping that truth to herself, but she's encouraging others to, in their own specific place and context. Remembering truth. So this is an inward focus. And sometimes it's not good to be inwardly focused, but I think for the purpose of application and giving different types, inward application is how is your heart resting in the truth of this passage so that you can go out and do something, but knowing that you can rest in this truth and apply it first. So what would be some temptations if you were Kathy and you were joyful and you were seeking out others to encourage? What if she were seeking out, who was one of our other women here? Karen, who's worried. What would you tell her? Whoa, before you go to Karen, what are some things you might want to avoid being so joyful in the Lord? What would you not want to do? Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, it's so great being where I'm at. Someday you'll be there. Right? What other things could, what are some things that she could do?
She could possibly bring accreditation. You know, maybe someone like, say, Kelly.
Yeah.
Who's really and like wanting to present truth and conviction, she could sort of fall down the slide and make people feel condemned.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we want to be careful how we're applying this. Again, we want to stick to the main meaning of the passage, the truth of this, which helps us then not to veer off into areas of, you know, encouraging others in the wrong area, just giving platitudes or casting condemnation towards others. Okay, so then there is Kelly, or Karen, sorry, worried. How would you say she could apply the truth of this passage to her life, her current life state, who's worried, she's worried about God, that he's sick of her, that she's discouraged by life. How would she apply this passage to her life?
She would be convicted by the truth.
Okay. So, as she's meditating on it? Anybody else?
She could maybe like relate to Naomi and just use kind of that to pray that, you know, whatever is happening, that God would release her from that in the same way that he kind of released Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And how would you categorize prayer? Would that be an inward, outward, or upward focus?
Inward.
Inward, yep. Anyone have an outward application?
Mm-hmm. Someone to help her. She sees this truth in scripture, but I don't know how it applies to me.
Yeah. So it's okay to reach out and ask people who are even in a place of joy in the Lord. Like, I want to be there, but I am downcast. How do I get that? And then to share the hope of the gospel with them, that despite your circumstances, God still loves you. He redeemed you. He's not going to leave you without an inheritance. So that's the way that we can approach the outward application. So there's inward, outward, and upward. Inward focus is how it applies to your heart. Outward is more seeking out others, going, doing, but then the upward is keeping your focus on God. How can you meditate on this? Worship, praise, those types of applications. So let's not just think of application as the going and the doing, but it can be other responses as well. And sometimes we think, well, that's not really application. I'm not doing it right. But actually, if you start with the inward, it's going to produce fruit that will help you to do the outward, or the inward, to do the outward, and to continue the upward or the vertical relationship with God. We need to widen our scope of application. Sometimes the application is fairly straightforward. Like Luke, that passage, it says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Then he gives examples of, well, you do this and you do that. I think it might be straightforward to do, but a passage like this where it's not really giving me any verbs or clear indication of what I can do. So to broaden our scope of the types of application that we can apply to our lives. Okay, so I want you to work with your neighbor just for about 2 minutes and see how you could apply the truths of this passage to Kelly and Kim. I'll put them back up. Kelly is angry. Kim is bored. So just think of two applications for Kelly and Kim with your neighbor. Okay, anyone want to give two applications for Kelly? Who's angry? Anyone?
What is she angry at? And it changes that. Just thinking too hard now. Break down everything. Yeah, I'm angry with you. Is it a righteous anger or?
Oh boy. We can continue this conversation afterwards.
I think Lisa will be the one asking the questions.
It's okay.
You're kind of assuming that it's a,
yes.
an anger.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there needs to be some resolution in there. So I guess it doesn't really matter. Her heart is being hardened. What would be the antidote to hardness of heart?
Inward application.
Yeah, an inward, is that Mary?
Jackie.
Jackie, okay.
I thought of, like, looking at, like, the meaning of it, like, bringing, like, your heart to God and, like, confessing that anger. And, mm-hmm. Like, so you bring it to him, like, you can, like, willingly, like, if you know, like, he willingly, like, listens and, like, is, like, forgiving of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Asking him to rid you of the anger, to give you the joy. Do you think he's going to answer that? Yeah. Will it take time? Was Naomi's situation resolved after a prayer? No. So it takes time, but there's hope. The gospel gives us hope. And so I don't know where you are at right now. I don't know how you came into this workshop, if you were joyful in the Lord, if you were downcast. Whatever your situation is, I hope that you walk out of the doors here and you realize that you have a Savior who willingly and joyfully paid the cost of your redemption. You are now His bride. He loves you, and He redeemed you. He knew what you were like before the ages began, and no matter what our situation is, no matter our emotions, no matter the current state of our heart, He knows you, and He loves you. There's nothing about you that He is not aware of. Even the things that you would cringe at if that were to be revealed to a group of people. He died in your place to bring you to God willingly and joyfully. So that's a truth worth resting in, celebrating, seeking to grow in, telling other people about, ministering to hurting people. May we be the people who worship a king like that, a sacrificial Savior, telling others about him, growing in that truth, and living for him as our King, our great King Jesus. So let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful for this time that we have had to spend growing closer to you, growing to know what it means to correctly interpret the Bible so that we can apply these truths to our lives. Lord, your word is active and living, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that you would pierce our hearts with the truth of your gospel today, that no matter what our current situation is, whether we're joyful, downcast, everything in between, even if it's on one given day, Lord, that you have a remedy for that. You paid the cost of our redemption. And not only paid it, but you willingly were able to do it, and you joyfully did that for us to make us your lovely bride. Father God, I just thank you for that truth. I pray for these women. I pray for the rest of their day. Let them rest in that truth. No matter where they're going, no matter what they're entering into, God, I pray that they would rest in that truth and that it would grow and continue to spark the fire of being in your word and sharing that truth with others and ministering to other people, sharing the gospel with them so that they can too be people redeemed of a holy living God. Father, I thank you for this time. We know that you are at work, and we praise you. Again, I just lift up the people of France. I don't know what it's like to be in that situation, Lord, but we stand with them. We want to lift them up to you, offer them the truth and the hope that comes from the gospel. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for being a kind, loving God. It is in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.